Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I think there's a lot of questions out there that we just don't get and don't understand, and I think it's fair. So we're going to turn to Eric Pincus from Basketball Insiders, NBA TV, covers the Lakers for Bleacher Report, really knows his stuff, and of course he's on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. Hey, how are you doing today?
Doing great. Thanks for having me.
Well, we appreciate you being on. First of all, let's talk about what the Cavs can actually do moving into the offseason, because Jeff and I hear mixed emotions. Like, what can they do cap space wise? What can't they do? What would they have to move to try to bring in somebody else? Just kind of explain the Cavs situation to us if you can.
Well, they have some money that's potentially coming off. It depends on LeBron, right? So
okay,
if he stays, then the money's there, right? And so they're heavily invested in what they have. So the challenge would be to give LeBron a reason to stay with an improved roster isn't going to come, for the most part, through free agency, where you're not going to go and say, all right, well, you're the Cavs, you're going to go sign Paul George. It's just not a feasible thing. But they do have the ability to trade, and that, I think, is their best path to giving LeBron a little bit more help. Challenge is they don't have a lot to offer when it comes to youthful prospects, right? They do have that pick, though, and I think that is an interesting question. That number 8 pick is definitely a value around the league, but you can't trade that pick in June if you don't know where LeBron is going to be in July, because if he leaves, you need to start to rebuild, and that pick is really important. So there's a lot of they don't have a significant means to really improve other than trade or just getting a little bit of luck.
Other than a trade, Eric, is there anything they can do with some big contracts that are sitting there on guys like George Hill, J.R. Smith, Tristan Thompson, if they wanted to move on from any of those contracts or any of those guys? How
well,
can you do
that? Well, that's the trick, is how do you get a trade to go? So they're committed with the contracts they have without LeBron at about $100 million, which is right at the cap, right? So if you found a team to take George Hill, what incentive? Is there a team that really wants his $19 million? And there might be. He's owed $18 the next year, but only $1 million is guaranteed. So it's not an ugly contract. You would call up, if you called up the Atlanta Hawks and said, take George Hill and we'll throw you some draft considerations of significance, they might be willing to do that. And that knocks off about $20 million. But the problem there is that still doesn't put the Cavs in a position where, oh, well, they can go ahead and sign someone for $20 million. Yeah, they can. But to do so, they need to renounce LeBron James, right? Because LeBron takes up unsigned. He takes up basically the amount of cap room that he would be taking up anyway, even if he was there. So if he takes up a max of about $35 million, $36 million, unsigned, he's still taking up that amount. So they would have to trade not just George Hill, but you start to, how do you trade Tristan Thompson? And each time you trade away a big expensive contract, you're giving away some future asset in most cases, something probably draft picks or some young player. I don't know which young players would do it. You've got Jetty Osman and not a lot else when it comes to youth on this team. They've been really positioning themselves to win now. And that's kind of what happens. You get to a win now situation. You live there for a few years. You have success. And then when it's time to rebuild, you don't have those youthful assets anymore. And I think that's kind of where they are. They're in need of a reset unless they can find a trade that maybe none of us are expecting.
The Los Angeles Lakers appear to be in position to offer two max contracts, correct?
Yeah. The, and the Cavs helped that happen. And I think the logic is, if LeBron's going to leave, it doesn't matter where he goes. It doesn't matter if we help the Lakers get him, because he'll go to the Sixers. He'll go to the Rockets. He'll go somewhere. So when they made that move, they made the best move that they felt would help them get back to the finals and win. And it got they did well. I mean, the Cavs and LeBron obviously carried the weight, but they pulled themselves together. And I don't think Jordan Clarkson contributed as much as they liked. I think Nance is a nice player. And Hood was spotty, but it didn't really work as well as they would have liked, unfortunately, because they didn't win the title. But the Lakers, they can sign Paul George and LeBron James if those guys are willing to team up. If not, Lakers can use some of that to make a trade and try to acquire a player that maybe a star that isn't wanted somewhere. And they have some young players that maybe they're willing to trade. I don't know. There's been a report that they've made everybody technically available, although very expensive. If you want a Brandon Ingram, you're going to have to give up the world to get him, but they're at least open to hear what's out there.
Eric Pincus joining us from Basketball Insiders, NBA TV. Eric, there's rumblings now, and again, this, who knows what's going to happen here in the weeks ahead, but that Paul George may stay in Oklahoma City. Does LeBron James consider the Lakers if Paul George isn't going there as well?
It feels like he's going to need some help at a high level. I don't know for sure. Obviously, none of us know exactly what goes into LeBron's decision. And he said it's about family. Family could be why he stays in Cleveland. It could be why he goes specifically to Los Angeles.
Right.
And so maybe if he sets his mind on going to Los Angeles, it may not have anything to do with Paul George. It may just have to do with trusting that Magic Johnson and Rob Pelinka will use their resources to build a championship team around him, in addition to whatever family benefit he's getting by moving to LA, if that were to happen. So maybe it's not Paul George. Maybe the Lakers go ahead and use that to trade for somebody. You can use cap room, and then you can also wait a year. And I don't think LeBron's much of a wait a year type of guy, but there are a lot of free agents available in 2019. So I think the name of the game is flexibility for most teams. You want to be in a position to make a lot of moves. That's not where the Cavs are right now. But at the same time, they've been at the destination. The destination is to be a contender, and they've been there for four straight years. And the Lakers have not. I've been there. I covered LA firsthand. They're more flexible now, and over time the Cavs will get to a point of flexibility themselves so that when you have these opportunities, you can take them. And I think the Lakers are there right now where they can come up with a lot of plan Bs and Cs and Ds, but it all starts with one player, and that's LeBron saying, this is where I want to go. And if he picks L.A., they've got a lot of options. It's just a question of LeBron making that choice.
Let me just ask you this question from the Lakers' perspective. Would LeBron be in the forefront or in the shadow of Magic Johnson in L.A.?
Oh, definitely in the forefront. Magic is a big personality, and I wouldn't say it any other way. I mean, he likes the spotlight to a degree, but he's not playing anymore, and he hasn't played for a really long time. Kobe was never, you know, there's a lot of legends that have come through Los Angeles, and they're around. You see Kareem at games every so often, not often, but sometimes. Shaq will come by for different ceremonies, and it's a team that has a great legacy. Magic really, he's a point guard at heart. This is who he is. He's a sharer. He's someone who wants others to have success. And Magic has an ego too, right? I mean, there's no pretending he doesn't. But his ego is built around building a team versus someone else who might be more of a me first type of guy. And I think if anything, LeBron has a lot to learn from Magic, not from the basketball side, but what Magic has done with his career as an icon, as someone who's helped inner city kids. He's the only person to ever have a Starbucks franchise, and he brought that to some of the less wealthy areas in LA. And I think, you know, he's part owner of the Dodgers. I mean, he's done tremendous things with his life, and I think LeBron would learn a lot from that. I generally speaking, if you put Magic in a room with LeBron and Paul George together, that's going to be really hard for those players to say no, because he's got such a dynamic personality. And I see how much he means to NBA players. But, well, we don't know. LeBron is a very strong personality himself. He's not just going to be swayed by an icon because he is an icon.
Eric Pincus joining us, Basketball Insiders. Eric, do you see anything cooking with Paul George, DeMarcus Cousins, as far as maybe them trying to get out of their situations in Oklahoma City and New Orleans, respectively, by doing sign and trades and trying to force that kind of an issue? Or do you see them staying put where they are?
Well, sign and trades are difficult. In the case of Cousins, he's probably the toughest pick of all, the hardest to guess on out of any of the big free agents. You asked me this before his injury, and it was those three guys, and teams are going to go after them. And there was always a question of DeMarcus and his leadership because he has an emotional personality. But now that he's hurt, I don't know what teams are going to be going full bore at him. I mean, certainly like the Lakers have their experience with someone and a torn Achilles and Kobe, right? He was never the same after that. So in the case of Paul George, he may, you know, there's a lot of reports coming out now that he likes Russell Westbrook. He's very close. We're in that same position with LeBron. We don't know for sure what he's going to do. And it's a very individual thing. But the challenge of a sign and trade is that the Thunder are very heavily committed, even without Paul George, to a lot of salary. And they're not really going to be willing to take a lot back unless it's something really special, because they could end up paying $200 million, $250 million, $300 million in salary with taxes. And that's not really tenable for that market. In fact, it's almost impossible for them to even keep Paul George without trying to find a new home for Carmelo Anthony, even if that means buying him out outright and letting him go, which is I think, a distinct possibility. So it's going to be a fun summer. I think the headliner by far is LeBron, but Paul George is number two, and somewhere in that mix after that injury is DeMarcus Cousins. He's a tough one.
Eric, what could the Cavaliers get if they wanted to trade that eighth pick? And say just for the eighth pick, or if you wanted to throw a guy like Kevin Love into that deal, the eighth pick and Kevin Love, what could those things get you?
It's a tricky one. That's a good question. So on one hand, at the team wanting the eight is probably a team that is patient enough for that number eight pick to develop. Because most picks, even like look at Markelle Fultz, right? Yeah, there's a Jason Tatum there who killed it. But most picks take some time, whereas Kevin Love is not someone you get when you're rebuilding, right? If you need to win, you can go get Kevin Love because he's a polished veteran, an all-star, and does all that Kevin Love does. So it's kind of a mixed asset. So you would need a team that I know that the Timberwolves, I wouldn't be shocked if they trade one of Andrew Wiggins and one of Jimmy Butler, but I think they keep Butler. So I wouldn't be shocked if Andrew Wiggins became available. And I'm sure a number eight pick would be fascinating for them, or a Kevin Love might be interesting as well. So
take Kevin back home, yeah.
And bring Wiggins back home, right?
It'd be an interesting, and that's just, you know, off the top of my head. I don't, obviously, I have to look deeply at that, but it is an interesting package. There's a lot more teams that would want the number eight than would want Kevin Love, because most teams are not at the top, right? Most teams are somewhere in the middle or at the bottom. Any team that, you know, there's probably a handful of teams that are elite, if that, maybe even less these days. So Love is a good player. I think he gets a lot of flack, and I think people say that LeBron's doing it by himself or really overlooking who Kevin Love is. I'm a Bruin. I've seen him play over at UCLA. I've seen him his whole career, and he's underappreciated. Let's just put it that way.
Both of us agree with you. Last question for you. Is there any way for the Cavaliers to get out of JR's contract?
I mean, sure. There's always trade. And like we said, when you're trading a contract that's undesirable, or at least perceived that way, then you have to give up something. And so, you know, how much are they willing to give up? Sometimes you just want to ride it out. Now, the advantage of his contract is that the second year is only guaranteed for about $4 million. So it's really about, let's just round it to $18 million over 2 years. So you can actually stretch that $18 million over, let's say it's 20 to be make it an even number, right? Let's say it's 20. You could stretch that out over 5 years at $4 million a pop. And so you could actually clean off for this next year a good amount of his money, basically $10 million roughly of his money could come off right now. So there are, if they were able to trade a big contract and stretch out JR, and you start to get to the point where, yeah, they could actually get into some cap room, but that's really without LeBron's number. That's the thing, is how do you make these moves and keep LeBron? And then if LeBron is leaving, what moves do you make? And then you say, well, maybe it's not worth it to maybe you're better off letting J.R. Smith expire. You have to be patient because you don't want to mess up your books down the road. Those little $5 million here, $10 million there can really mess you up. So I feel you, but J.R. might be around for a little bit.
All right, Eric. Hey, thank you. We appreciate your insight and definitely clearing some things up for us. Thank you.
All right, guys.
All right, make sure you check out Eric Basketball Insiders and NBA TV as well.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.